Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
During part one, Bill Federer gave us a history lesson on Muslim conquest, Barbary pirates, the destruction of Christian churches, the closing of the trade routes, which resulted in Christopher Columbus seeking an alternative route to India and China, Henry Ford's role in Muslim immigration, and so much more. So make sure you check out part one on our website or on Spotify.
I said immigrate, increase, eliminate.
Oh, yeah. And Muslims, you're talking about the increase part. Muslims have large families, so that's also one way to increase and to impact the community that they've immigrated to. And we see that happening across not only this country, but we see where European countries like Germany and the EU, France, Spain, have opened their doors for years now to allow Muslims to come in. And we see how that's negatively impacting those countries. I've been told, I think, where the U.S. is like 10 years behind Europe as far as changes in their politics and such. So let's hope.
Well, I know. And they don't just have large families. They have polygamy. In England, they now passed a law saying if in your original country they allowed polygamy and you come into England, you can practice polygamy here. So these Muslim men have four wives. And the standard practice is they will tell the wife to go down to the welfare office and say that their husband is not around and they get welfare checks. And then the man visits his wives, and the more children they have, the larger the welfare checks get.
Yeah.
And the average Muslim woman has five children, where the Europeans are maybe having one. And so by 2050, Muslims will have a majority in Europe. Muhammad is now the number one name for newborns in Europe. But they don't need a majority. All they need is two parties that are neck and neck. And they say, we will help one party defeat the other. And as a result, you will give us concessions. So they're like a pinball. They'll side with the Republicans sometimes. They'll side with the Democrats sometimes. It doesn't matter. But they're always advancing their agenda. And once they get in power, they switch from the Dar al-Harb, the House of War, to the Dar al-Islam, the House of Submission. Mm-hmm. And that's when they get violence, like in Nigeria, where they literally will go into Christian churches and machine gun them and capture the kids and sell them into slavery. And people forget there's slavery today in Africa.
Yeah,
Christian Solidarity International, Eric Metaxas works with them, but they collect money to ransom people out of slavery in Sudan. There's a Exodus 51 organization. There's 4 million Christians as slaves in Pakistan making mud bricks all day long.
In Pakistan.
For $430, you can buy a Christian out of slavery in Pakistan. And this is going on today.
Yeah. And public education is not talking about that. Public education just talks about the horrible United States in its slave history. They forget.
Yeah, well, Muhammad was a white Arab who owned black slaves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they had Muslim slave markets at Timbuktu, where the canoe meets the caravan on the Niger River.
Right.
In Khartoum in Sudan. In Tanzania on the Zanzibar coast on the Indian Ocean. They sold tens of millions of Africans into slavery. And David Livingstone, the Scottish missionary to the Congo, wrote how he'd go through a valley and a year later go through its ghost villages.
Wow.
The Arab Muslim slave traders came through and captured everybody. Sold them into slavery.
So what does the Quran, however you want to pronounce it, what does it say about how Muslims should, I mean, you know, we're told it's a religion of peace, but what does their Quran actually say about Muslims' interaction with the world?
So The word Islam means submission to the will of Allah. A Muslim is one who has submitted to the will of Allah, and they think there will be world peace when the whole world submits to the will of Allah. So to them, world peace means world Islam. When your enemies are defeated and there's nobody left to fight, then there's peace. So we think peace is different groups that don't believe the same thing, learning how to get along. Mm-hmm. They think world peace is world Islam. Now, a moderate Muslim thinks the world will submit to Allah later, maybe in the distant future, maybe at the end of the world. Maybe it's even figurative. Mm-hmm. And since it's so far off, they really don't think about it. They just want to live their lives. And they're happy to have you as a friend or a neighbor or a family member. The fundamental Muslims, they think the world is supposed to submit to Allah now. And the fundamental Muslim is just as happy to kill a moderate Muslim as they are to kill an infidel. They view the moderate Muslim as having departed from the way of Allah. And so when they do a terrorist attack and the West comes down strong on the terrorists, the moderate Muslims are happy to be under the Western umbrella, enjoy the freedoms and the food and everything. But if the terrorists do an attack and the West does not come down strong, worse, people in the West are giving guns and money to the terrorists, like Biden left $85 billion worth of weapons. Then the moderate Muslim, then the moderate Muslim was like, well, if the West isn't going to come to our defense and I don't want to get killed, I guess I have to lean in the fundamental direction. So fundamental Muslims view our lack of a strong response as weakness, and weakness invites aggression.
Yeah.
So we think we're being really nice. They view that niceness as weakness, and it's an invitation to attack. It's like a lion will chase a weak zebra.
Right. The easy prey. Exactly. So what can, I mean, you know, I know there's mosques around the country. I know there's, you know, they're being built on a regular basis. I know there's one in Philadelphia. I'm not sure if there's one in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't one. But what, I mean, we live in a country with rules. We live in, you know, we live under, we're a constitutional republic. We have the Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights, and to me, I think some of these countries are taking advantage of our laws, or taking advantage of our Constitution, especially the First Amendment, and I don't know how this can be countered, how it can be stopped. I know President Trump wants to limit the number of immigrants from, problematic, in quotes, countries. But what can we do as a country to kind of limit it? I mean, as we've seen what's taking place in Europe, and we see some, well, especially anti-Semitism after the October 7th attacks in Israel, where definitely a lot of anti-Semitism there. But can we do anything as a country who's living under this Constitution when you're comparing what we believe as peace and what they believe as peace, which are totally contradictory? Is there any way forward for us as a nation without becoming another Muslim nation?
Yeah, so there's freedom for all religions in America. But Islam is not just a religion, because Muhammad was not just a religious leader. He was also a political and a military leader. And so Islam is all three: a religious system, a political system, and a military system. A mosque is a religious building, a political building, and a military building. Bowing in public prayer is a religious bowing, a political statement, and a military claiming of territory. And it's very similar to a gang. So in Islam, if you join, you get to have your four wives. You get to have all the benefits. If you leave, they kill you. If you join the MS-13 gang, you get the booty, you get the pimps and prostitutes. If you leave the MS-13 gang, they kill you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Islam has this gang dynamic to it. And Muhammad promised booty in the next life. So it's like a super gang. And so if you think of it, what if the MS-13 gang started calling themselves a religion? We're like, oh, you're a religion now. Well, I guess we can let you take over neighborhoods and do your own vigilante justice and have your Sharia MS-13 courts And I guess you can sex traffic 9-year-olds because Muhammad's youngest wife was 9 years old. And I guess, you know, you have your gang colors instead of it being baggy pants, and it can be a 7th century tunic and a burqa. And we can even teach MS-13 in the public schools. We can give you your own special space. And I mean, would that make sense? But that's sort of what we're doing.
You're right about that.
And Eisenhower faced this. When the 1950s, the communists were coming into America and organizing and printing pamphlets. And he said, no group can use the Bill of Rights as a privileged sanctuary from which to destroy the Bill of Rights. In other words, you can't say, hey, freedom of religion, but our goal is setting up Sharia law where we are not going to allow freedom of religion. The 14th Amendment, which was passed after the Civil War, says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. And then it goes on to say that they are to be subject to the jurisdiction of the states where they're in. Mm-hmm. Well, are you subject to the state laws or are you subject to the Sharia laws? And Sharia says that it is superior to man-made law. They think law came from Allah and it's forced top down. They hate things like voting and city councils and people participating in a government from the consent of the governed. So their very Sharia law is counter to representative government. And so religiously, yeah, you can be a Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, but politically and militarily, it's all three. And Muhammad was all three. And for us to try to split the religious side of Islam away from the political military side is we're trying to split Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Who were we to split their prophet? He was all three. Muhammad fought in 66 battles and raids, killing an estimated 3,000 people. Wow. He was a military leader. And so that's the dilemma. Are we going to allow every type of political system in America? Are we going to allow communism? Are we going to allow monarchy? Are we going to allow these things? No,
according to those who are
out, the laws of the country.
Right. According to those who are out participating in the No Kings rallies, they think we are living under a monarch. Although if we were living under a monarchy, that monarch would not allow the protest against him or her.
Wow. Yeah. All you got to do is look at Iran.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
you had
absolutely
50,000 mm-hmm. young people, mostly under 30, were wanting to assemble in protest, and the Ayatollah kills them.
Yeah.
Kills 50,000 of their own people.
Yeah.
And here you have the woke left in America acting like, it's no big deal.
Here in Pennsylvania, we've elected a Democratic Socialist to Congress. She's from Pittsburgh. Summer Lee's a Democratic Socialist. And where's that badge proudly. Anyway, how can folks contact you? I mean, this book is fantastic. What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. How can folks purchase the book? How can folks contact you?
Well, thank you. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And the title of the book is What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. We have videos. We have now a flash drive that has 30 video presentations that I've done, plus the book as an audio book and as a PDF. So it's one flash drive with all that information on it.
Yeah, your website has tons of information. I'm losing my voice here. but your website has tons of information, more books. You have a lot of books there and a lot of resources that Americans need to check out. Because Americans as a whole do not remember our history or were never taught our history. And that's why I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to these folks who are out protesting, you know, the No Kings rallies and May Day rallies and thinking that capitalism is bad and socialism is good. I mean, people need to be re-educated. And your website, AmericanMinute.com, is a fantastic resource. And I encourage our listeners to check it out. And be re-educated on what our history really is, because we need that. We just do need that. And whereas we as a nation are paying for the fact that our students, young Americans, are not being taught the true history of this nation. And I think it's
well,
Go ahead.
There's a proverb. A proverb says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Mm-hmm. And what better inheritance can we leave than a country where there's freedom, freedom to preach the gospel,
absolutely,
freedom to be safe. In London, they have Pakistani rape gangs. They have these gangs of men that rape young women. I was in Philadelphia and I talked to somebody that worked in the inner city. And they said that young Christian girls are putting on burqas because if they walk through the streets, the Muslim boys will harass them and attack them and rape them. But if they put on a burqa, they'll be left alone.
That's in
Philly.
So
here they are.
In Philly.
In Philly.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And so these are the rules of the neighborhood. I mean, the girl has to walk through a bunch of dangerous streets, mm-hmm, you know, and the family's, you know, poor. They can't move out of the neighborhood.
Right.
And so this is happening in America. And
happening in the birthplace of liberty, where the where the Declaration of Independence was signed. Wow, scary stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I encourage. Thanks, Bill, for being with us. I mean, you're always full of, you know, a lot of good information that we need to learn. So again, I encourage your listeners to go to AmericanMinute.com to get more information, and again, re-educate yourself on the American history. So thanks again, Bill, for being with us.
Thank you.
You take care.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
You take care and have a good day.
Bless you.
Bless you too. Bye bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.